Blog Talk Radio.
My Lord, peace and blessings, my beloved brothers and sisters, family and friends. I should please forgive me because I am actually just waking up. So my throat is a little groggy, I'm a little tired. But regardless to what, I thank God that I have the ability to be on and speak to you about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thank God for each and every last one of y'all, because there is nothing more important than to have the ability to speak to somebody about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My beloved brothers and sisters, you know, every time I have the opportunity to go outside, I take a moment to just stand by and just learn. As we know that Jesus learned from land, man, and that of the Old Testament. And we have it even greater because we have also the New Testament. And as I was out there learning, I sat at a bus stop. I walked a precious young lady to the train, and as I was, I walked to the train station to meet a precious young lady. And I stopped at the bus stop for a few seconds just to just say hello to the father, because I did not speak to him for a good period of time from the moment I left the house to go to the train station. And that is like a rarity for me. I normally doesn't do that. So I just sat down for a few seconds, and as a matter of fact, by the time I came to the train station, the train was just pulling in. It's like, wow. But while I was standing, while I was sitting there, I listened to an older lady talking about how Christians are literally as fake as can be, and how she is homeless and have been in a church for many, many years, and that they do not help people as they should. And I think, as a matter of fact, I believe with all who I am, that God wanted me to sit there just so that I can listen, just so that I can comfort in Jesus Christ. And as I listened to her, she was very sincere. She wasn't angry. She was just talking to somebody, having a conversation, and said that she gave up on being a Christian because of the fact that she felt as though that she was being deluded. And I asked her if it's okay if I would speak on that matter just for a few minutes. And without anger, without no mess, she said, I would be glad to hear what you got to say. And I said to her, do you believe that going to church have to do with you going to heaven? Or do you believe you being the church has to do with you going to heaven? And for a few seconds, she thought about it, and she said to me, can I ask you a question? What do that has to do with how I feel? I said, well, if you was going to church because of the fact that you was expecting people to be a particular way and they disappointed you, that's the reason why you're not no longer being the church. But if you was going to church to be the church, then you actually would be enabling yourself the ability to know that you cannot trust no human, but only God. And whatever position that you're in, to have faith in God, to know that you can abound from that any position, and then by you being the church, you'll show weaker churches and that of non-believers and all people in between that you are capable of being a strong church. And if you allow yourself to do that, then you won't have the ill feelings that you have, which causes Satan to say that I can knock you off your foundation because you didn't build your foundation on the rock, as opposed to building your foundation on the sand that has to do with you losing your faith. Because the reality is, it wasn't the church that failed you, it was you who failed you. Because you don't care where you go, if that church is not based on the foundation of Jesus Christ in his fullness, what's going to happen is you're going to see how we make major decisions that is not good. And that's all of us. Doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter where we come from, that's all of us. It doesn't matter if you're a babe in Christ or if you are well seasoned. And she looked and thought about it, and she took my hand in her hand, and she said, I have never thought about that. And I just looked at it, and I asked her whether or not if I can give her a hug and if I can pray. And as I was hugging her, I said a short prayer because I had to make this precious gift coming to the train station. And I said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to heal her heart. Give her that faith that enabled her to know that she is a dear heart, and you placed your whole spirit into her heart so that she can have the ability to be that church in which is needed for everybody that's around her at this specific time, and that in the future, if you give her such time. And she thought about it, and she said, thank you, thank you. Then she simply asked me, do I know where's a shelter? And I said, well, that I happen to be really good at. And then I started laughing. I said, because at the present moment, I too am in your position. And she looked at me, and she burst out laughing and said, God got a sense of humor. And I said, yeah, he does. I said, but now out here at this specific time, it'd be a little hard for you to get into a shelter. But there is a shelter I can tell you about that is fantastic, and you might be able to get in. And she said, I don't care, wherever it be, I'm feeling good at this moment. And she, when I told her where it was, which is out in Los Angeles, she said, man, but I don't have no coffee. I said, but that's being taken care of right now. And I gave her coffee and told her, you know, where to walk. And as she was walking by me, because she's still talking to whoever it is that she was talking to, I'm hurrying on so I can meet that precious gift. And across the street, right, because the train is just coming in, and I didn't want to be late in no shape, fashion, or form. To tell you the truth, I don't know what happened to the woman. And on my way back, I just was talking to that precious gift who was telling me about school and what's going on and just so many wonderful things. But as I was, now check this out, this is what I love so much. As I was thinking about this precious woman who is on her way to Los Angeles, what I thought about is one of the things that we must never lose is our faith in God. Regardless to what people do, what Satan tried to do, regardless to our circumstances in any shape, fashion, or form, and as long as we don't allow our circumstances to dictate how our mood should be, always stand as conquerors. So I should do this video. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11 and 1. Hebrews 11 and 1 is where it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to share something with you, and I mean this with all of who I am. A very precious child of mine, who I love dearly, had died. He got shot. And I had not long became a Christian. But I knew that the moment that I became a Christian, that I wasn't going to play with them. That there was nothing that was required of me that I would not do in order for me to have the ability to say that when somebody looked this way, they would be able to say, he may be young, but he's trying his best to get there. And all of us, as Christians, speaking to all the Christians, all of us should be doing everything we can to, when we are out there in the public eye, we let people understand that we are saints, that we are ambassadors, that we are from a royal priesthood, and we understand that. And by dealing with life down here on earth, we understand that there's all kind of things is going to happen. So when this child died, first I went through the whole emotional thing. As a matter of fact, I went to the point of saying, the person who did it is going to die. Bottom line, the person who did it is going to die. And that lasted for about maybe 5 minutes, and I went into prayer. And after doing so, I come to realize something very precious. That Christ died so that we can have life. So who am I to take life because somebody I find to be precious died? And it was my responsibility to go give life so that that person can see the difference between living and seeing what life looks like. And I actually adopted that child. Now, he ended up dying the year after that. But it was through the faith of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that got to a point to where I said, that's who I want to model. See, because we all have a tendency of modeling each other, not realizing this is what we're doing. This is what happened with this woman. She gave up, not because of the fact of what they did, but because of what she felt as though we as humans should do. When if we look at Jesus and see what he did, we'll find there's no failure in him, which enables us to say, that's what I want to model. That's what I want to see. Because when we understand that reality, now do me a favor. Go to Romans 5 and 5. Check this out. Just check out this for a minute. Romans 5 and 5. Now, the one thing I love about what God does with me is he likes to teach you, see, so that you make no mistakes about how to be strong in Christ and to allow nothing, you understand, nothing to knock you off your course. Because the reality is you can have complete peace every day and just show that you are in the image of God through Jesus Christ, led by the Holy Spirit in every shape, fashion, and form. Okay, check this out. 5 and 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I got something I need to share with you. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, whoever disappoint you, you come to find that you now have the opportunity to be a teacher so that they can see what, so you can go into a whole church that can be totally dead and live up the whole church because of the fact that you understand that the reality of being in Christ literally is living within you so highly until they say, that's what I want to look like. That's what I want to see. And I don't care whether or not if it's from the people who's in the pulpit or all the way to the altar. Because your responsibility is to have the ability to let everybody know that Christ is in your life and that the full prize of having him in your life is for you to get to him. Regardless of what's going on around you, it doesn't matter. Because you have to understand that while, as a matter of fact, let's go to 5:8. Stay in Romans. Don't go nowhere. Stay in Romans. Now, this is what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did for us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, please pay attention to that. God did not wait for us to get right. He did right so we could see what right looked like and then model that right so somebody else could say, now I can see what the difference is. That's why he said that we are the light. That's why he said that we are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, of no use. I'm paraphrasing. That we are no use. That we are like that which should be blown out of the hand and trampled over by men. Why? Because, in fact, you are of no use. You have nothing to give anybody to enable somebody to say, now I see the difference between the two. So now, this is what Satan has a tendency of doing. He loves to do this. He loves to put people around you to show you how people are failures so that you can learn to be a failure. And you can simply do it by just a simple thought, by allowing yourself to say, I'm sick of you. Because once you feed yourself anything that has to do with negativity, you can allow yourself to go in a place that you don't need to be. And before you know it, Satan got two people for the price of one. Because you have decided not to say, I can give life, as opposed to you allowing yourself to say, I am sick of life. I'm tired of the way that life is treating me. I'm tired of the way how I'm going through all these trials and tribulations. I am tired. When you stop allowing yourself to look at humans and understand that you came from a man called Jesus, what happens is you allow yourself the ability to have fun in life in every shape, fashion, and form, regardless of how things hit you. It does not matter. You stand up and you say, I now know who I can model. Why? Let's go to Genesis 1:26. I think we kind of mess up when we don't pay attention to this particular thing. Genesis 1:26, where it says, but God himself is saying, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Okay. According to our likeness. Is it like God to say, I am so sick of y'all until I give up? I'm so sick of y'all until I'm going to get on crack. I'm so sick of y'all until I'm going to start drinking. I'm so sick of y'all until I'm showing hate. I'm so sick of y'all. No, of course not. That just don't make sense. Because God is love, and love doesn't stop. It continues flowing. It continues flowing, which is why when we go to Romans 5:8, you see, but how God demonstrates his love in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So he said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, according to the way we are, according to how strong we are, according to how we edify, according to that which causes somebody who are blind to see, according to somebody who's unable to walk to begin to walk, according to that which enable allow a person to say, wow, somebody loved me today. But see, he didn't stop there. He didn't just say, let us make him and have him be like us, give him dominion. Let them be the supervisor. Let them show everybody who we made. Because we gave them us. How did he give us this mortal body? How did he give us that which enabled us to have the ability to say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me? Let's go to 2:7. Stay in Genesis. But we're going to 2:7. Now, this is, praise God, this is just from my waking up, thinking about how God used this wretched of a soul to an old lady who wanted to give up on life. She's tired because she was disappointed by people. But this is what Christ, this is what God did for us. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. I'm going to share with you what the difference between a living being and that who's just existing. When one is just existing, what happens is he's always expecting. I need this to be better for me. I need that to be better for me. I need this. I got to have that. If this don't happen, then I, see, we become like a, what do you call one of those little mouse that runs inside of a cage. He's running on a Ferris wheel, on this wheel, a hamster. He's fast as can be, but he's going nowhere. That's just existing. But when you allow yourself the ability to live, what's happening is, and I mean to live in Christ, what's happening is you produce that which allow everybody to understand that you stand for somebody, that you stand for a living Jesus, that you stand for the Messiah, the Christ, that you understand that your responsibility, regardless of what you're going through, is to demonstrate God's love, in that while somebody is sinning on you, still demonstrate that love continuously, because you understand this reality. When Satan used somebody to demonstrate evil on you, it's not you that he's attacking. It's God, it's Jesus that he's attacking, because the reality is it has nothing to do with you. You're just a pawn, so that he can cause you to do that which he hoped for you to do, so that he can, so that you can accompany him. Because, see, he's miserable. Why? Because he knows where he's going. He knows he has no chance of going to heaven. And misery loves company. So, of course, he says, I come, that's a matter of fact, I'm going to let the Bible tell you. Go to John 10:10. This is what Jesus said, that, because I want you to know who he is. John 10:10. Thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it abundantly. May. He said may. See, the woman who was sitting at the bus stop, she could have enjoyed life regardless to what, but she did not accept the life. The life. Who is that? What is that? Well, let's go to John 14:6. Just to share a few things with you, how we can enjoy life continuously by keeping our eyes on the real prize. Not allowing, you know how children have a tendency, or people in general, tendency and psych, I got you. That's what the devil is a perfect example of doing. Psych, I got you. I made you, take your eye off of the prize. I made you stop being the ambassador and allowed and caused you to be a slave. I made you stop being a king, a queen, and caused you to be a peasant. I caused you to think like a peasant. So instead of you being enriched in his love, now you're allowing all of these foul feelings to cause you to act otherwise. Okay. John 14:6. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, Father God. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What does he mean? No other access. There's no other way for you to be able to have access to the Father except through me. What does he mean? Because can you imagine Jesus tripping up, letting somebody trip him up? Can you imagine somebody psyching him up? Can you imagine while he was being beaten beyond recognition, while his beard was being pulled out, he was being spat on, being ridiculed, persecuted, while he was going through all of that, that he just simply said, I give up. I'm done. I can't do this no more. No. He didn't. He continued on. He didn't stop. So every time I think about hard times, this is what comes to mind. Go to Romans 8:32. Just check this out for a second. Whenever I think about how Satan tries me, try to knock me off course, to try to stop me from being a man of God. I think of this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's what comes to my mind. It does not matter to me what happens around me. What matters is having the ability to say, I must breathe life into this situation. I must allow this person to know that I care about them, that I'm there for them, and how they be strong in Christ regardless to the circumstances, and don't let the circumstances dictate who they are, to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them to the degree to where they can say, I became more than a conqueror. I am victorious in Christ. And the reason why, because I did not give the devil none of my time. I did not edify him in any shape, fashion, form. I did not give him no glory because I understand who I am. So when I gave my life to Christ, I said that since when I was in my mess and I gave him all of that stuff that caused everybody to say that I'm an advocate of Jesus, they can finally be able to say that man has given his life totally to the Father. So when whatever happened, don't matter what it is, how hard it is, even when somebody's coming up against me, that's still my future brother and sister. That's still my brother and sister, because the reality is that this is what I come to understand. That which you do depends on who you are in Christ, because if you allow yourself that ability to show the world, regardless to what you do to me, I'm going to show you who Christ is in me. You're giving the person the ability to breathe, which is why if you understand this simple thing where it is said that you are like a tree living by the rivers of water, you take in the carbon dioxide, you take in all of that negativity, you take in all of the stuff, but what does a tree do in return? It gives fresh air. You're allowing yourself to breathe air upon the person. You remember when Jesus came into the room, he didn't even open up the door, and he breathed the Holy Spirit upon them, upon his disciples. He let them know, this is what you have. This is what you can do. And if you allow that, not even scorpions can stop you. Man, I love you, brothers and sisters. God bless y'all. You have a wonderful night. God, so allow me, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.